Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
How are we doing today?
Great.
Happy Father's Day. Really exciting time. let's go to James chapter 1. Kind of had a couple messages. Kind of debating to do. I'm going to choose the shorter of the two this morning. But really liked our public reading today and might try to maybe go more that direction. Let's see here. But for the sake of opening up, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord God, we praise your name. You have clearly demonstrated there are no other gods but you. Lord, we thank you that we can have faith and that our faith is firmly founded, that you have proven yourself and revealed yourself to mankind, and we know that you are Lord. Lord, thank you that you have wisdom and that you are able to give it without reproach. Should we only ask? And you tell us, just really mean it. Don't be doubting. Lord God, we ask that you continue to bless this assembly. I thank you so much for the men who have already come forward and encouraged us. It's been very encouraging in accordance with the truth. Thank you for all of us who have made it a priority to be here today as we understand that we are to build one another up as we equip each other for the work of service that was brought out earlier. Lord, we trust you. We believe in you. And our faith is firmly planted on you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone lack wisdom? Want to take a poll here? I'm in the front of the line, you know. You know, Monday morning in school is donut day. And after, you know, 2 or 3 years of telling the kids the first shall be last, and actually making the first one in the line go to the last, they finally don't fight for the front of the line as much, you know. But if we were in line on Wisdom Wednesday, I want to be in the front of the line. How about you? So this applies to all of us. And if you think you have all wisdom, then that's a whole other message for another day. It's kind of like what Raj said. Doesn't have to be your way or the highway. But if you lack wisdom, ask God who gives generously. Isn't that amazing? If you don't have it, you can get it. You just got to ask. And God, you know, one thing I really appreciated about the kitchen this year, you come through the line, I got 4 pancakes my first time through the line. You know, they didn't have a stash in the back that they were trying to preserve and ration out half a pancake per person, right? That's not how God is with his wisdom, is he? It says he gives 4 pancakes worth. Generously. Oh, and my favorite part, and Roger brought this out, didn't he? Oh, and without reproach. Rock said, I worked a 16-hour day, worked as hard as I could, but because it wasn't exactly the way my dad wanted it, sometimes it wasn't good enough. That's reproach. So not only does God have 4 pancakes every time you want to come through, he gives you all of it, and he doesn't make you feel bad for asking. How good is our God? God's done his part. What's our part? If you're going to ask, you better really want it. Jesus said on earth, you do not receive because you do not ask. James is teaching us in verse 6, we must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts, it's like a wave of the sea, right? Whoosh, just blown back and forth, just going wherever the wind takes them. Verse 7, if you are not fully convinced in your heart, which I would define as faith, that if you lack faith, then you shouldn't expect to receive anything, let alone the wisdom that you're seeking. It says he's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Matthew chapter 8. Just want to hit a couple things here. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. When he, Jesus, had gotten to the boat, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. Talk about being at peace, huh? I'm sure he was tired also. And they came to him, woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, what kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? You know, I was reading this. They were afraid. And Jesus said, you lack faith. So what would not doubting look like? Right? What would be the fullness of faith? Well, I suppose the lesson is, we have Jesus, therefore we do not need to worry. Three men in Daniel thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Did they go through the fire on their own? But Jesus, standing by their side, teaching us that we have to first rely on Him before we rely on ourselves. That's faith. That's not doubting. Doubting is when you try to take control of the situation. And what we learn from the apostles is, we have Jesus with us. Why are we afraid? Jesus defines that as little faith. You can go to Psalm 73. I thought this was pretty encouraging. Last verse, verse 28 in Psalm 73. But as for me, the nearness of my God is my good. Right? How near was God in the boat? Here, right next to him, right? I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. You know, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, do not worry about what you will eat, what you will wear. Doubting looks a lot like worrying. And when we go to God for wisdom and when we go to God for things, we have to be absolutely convinced that He can deliver. Amen? If you're not absolutely convinced that He can deliver, you are doubting. And I would say that is not faith. Okay? Lord, wake up. We're perishing. Trying to communicate. What? That's little faith. We got to trust in the Lord. Every one of us go into that furnace of blazing fire. And I wouldn't say you go in and leave. I just say the heat gets cranked up and dialed down. We're always in that furnace of affliction. Peter would say God's using it to refine us, right? For some of you, it's turned up seven times and you're feeling it right now. You're not even guaranteed tomorrow. Others of you, maybe 6 months ago, you came through the fire, and now the heat's not so bad. It's bearable. You know, if you just distract yourself a little bit, some things, maybe, you know, maybe read the Bible once in a while, you know, you're okay. Each one of us, it looks different. This last year, I know for sure God has let me go through the fires I've gone through. So I will stop relying on myself. Because I've been put in situations where I can't do it of my own. Been a Christian 14 years, 38 years old, still figuring out. The Lord God is near. He is my refuge. Not you. Not me, God. First and foremost, right? Because it's only when you have it in that order, then can we be iron that sharpens iron and stones that come together to help build one another up. Like our faith can't be in each other. It's got to be in God because God is near. But so many times when the heat gets turned up, we're looking to ourselves, we're looking to the experts, we're looking to the brethren, which I like the looking to the brethren thing, right? But they're the ones that are near. And where's God? You know, he's 3 days later when you realize you haven't even prayed about it yet. That's faith. The rest of it, it's doubting. But when I decided to do this message, it's when we were on the way back from Badlands. And I can't remember why. We're on the way back. We've just made a stop in Glendive, getting on the highway. And I rolled all the windows down. I don't remember why I did it. And I basically accomplished two things at Badlands. My daughter learned to ride her bike, and I probably colored, you know, 4 pictures over the weekend. And so these pictures that my daughter and I colored, you know, they're in the back, and they're starting to float in the air, right? And Ethan cares very much how things are done, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, this is not good," you know, only in 5-year-old language. You know, and I don't want to roll the windows up. And so this is a good learning opportunity for him. So in a very calm voice, I said, "Son, why don't you just find, you know, because it's within reach. Why don't you just find everything that you're worried about blowing out and just make sure that it's under something heavy. It's going to be okay." "Oh, but Dad, it's going to blow out and it's going to make it." And I get it. And I'm like, and I turn, didn't all the way turn around. But, you know, enough where you're like, "Son, I promise you, everything is going to be okay." And when I said it, I realized I'm trying to bring a calm demeanor in a chaotic, scary situation to teach my son how you should react. Do not let your emotions rule you. But I'm also thinking in the back of my head, if them papers blow out, is it the end of the world? So really, the only thing that we can do is make sure that we're in control of our spirit. And if we can do something to better the situation, do it. But if they blow out at the end of the day, does it really matter? Isn't everything still going to be all right? Nebuchadnezzar's like, "Second chance, bow down to the statue or I'm throwing you in the furnace." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, "Throw us in. Our God can save us. And guess what? He can also decide not to." We're okay with that. Because our faith is in God. That's not doubting. That's faith. See, that's the difference. Don't want to be the man who doubts. You're like a wave that's just being tossed around. And then you turn around and you can't understand why God hasn't given you what you've asked for. Because you doubt. I rolled up a couple of the windows. I made a special point to say again, "Son, I promise everything is going to be okay." I got thinking about that a little more. Ethan never really bought into the idea that everything's okay. And I wanted to use that as an example for us. Because what Ethan could not do is he could not reconcile the words of his father with what his own eyes could see. Could not reconcile the words of our Father with what we see with our own eyes. And that's what causes us to doubt. Because we think we know better. We flat out think we know better. Some of us go as far as to believe things that are unscriptural because we know what we saw. Really? You can't even get yesterday right. And you're going to tell me about something 20 years ago? You know you saw. You see, that's faith. Faith is when you sit there and you get the command from the Father. And the Father says, I promise you everything going to be okay. Faith is believing it. Without doubting, to the end. But sometimes we fall short. Why do we doubt? It's like, maybe the papers are going to blow out. Like, Dad, like my son trusts me. My son loves me. My son believes me. But even though those things are true, it wasn't enough to overdo what he could see with his own eyes. But Dad, I'm telling you, you don't understand. The papers are going to blow out. And God's saying, yeah, I know. And guess what? It's still going to be okay. Romans chapter 4. You know, it's Father's Day. Whew! Man, youth camp was good. But oddly enough, I came back motivated to be a better father. I didn't even know it was Father's Day until Saturday. I came back to be motivated to be a better father. So, still lack wisdom. Still trying to, through faith, ask God, give me wisdom. And so we come to assembly, and I'm trying to think of what's a good example of faith. You know, we can pick on the apostles in the boat. We can have James define faith and the lack of faith, which comes in the form of doubting. What's a good example of faith? Well, who's a really good example of faith in the Old Testament? Your hint is we just turned to Romans 4. Abraham. How was Abraham tested as a father? Did he believe God? Guys, I stand before you today. I don't know if I got it in me. Now, you know, God didn't talk to me in my dream. Okay? In these last days, God speaks through his son. Amen? Okay. So God's not talking to you in your dream. But if there was a scripture, you know, that I could hang my hat on that said, offer your son, I'd have to tell myself I'd do it. But it's like, wow. And then it's like, then it amazes me, okay, that Abraham's willing to offer his son. Why was Abraham willing to do that? God said, through your son, I will multiply your descendants. That's it. That's all God said. Did you know that? That's all God says. Through that boy, I will multiply your descendants as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless and multiply you. That's all God says. And then he tells them, offer him up as a sacrifice. It's Abraham that makes the connection that even if Isaac dies, God will just bring him back from the dead. Two things. From a biblical narrative, nobody's ever been raised from the dead prior to this. It's not like Abraham's, you know, great uncle's friend's neighbor's, you know, buddy was raised from the dead 200 years ago and they've been talking about that at campfire. Nobody's ever been raised from the dead before. Abraham comes to the conclusion on his own that people can come back to life through God's power. But the second thing is how does Abraham come to that conclusion? Because he believed God. Because God sat in the front seat and said, I will multiply your descendants through that boy. Now, if Abraham goes off of what he sees, there's no way he takes the boy up and offer him. Why does Abraham do it? Because he believed God's word. When God said that boy will have descendants, Abraham's only conclusion is he's not going to die. Because if he dies, no descendants. But I trust what God said earlier, that there would be descendants. That is how much Abraham believed God. Without doubting, he came to the conclusion that even if the boy dies, God will raise him from the dead. That's faith. Wow. Romans chapter 4. Verse 16. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. That is so cool. What was dead in Genesis? Sarah's womb. What did God bring into being that did not exist and could not exist on its own? Isaac. Think that has anything to do with you? Were you dead? Were you dead in your sins and your transgressions? Can you make yourself alive? Or did God make you alive? And did God call into being that which did not exist? It's kind of called the new creation. And it's in Genesis. How good is our God? And he's trying to communicate to us, that's faith. So what you're supposed to believe in without doubting is that your old man is dead, that God has given you life and that you've been born from above, and he has brought into being something that did not exist, which is the new creation, and you must have faith in that without doubting. Because every time we sin because we lack faith, because we doubt. Some form or another. We trust it on ourselves, and the outburst of anger comes. That was us relying on ourselves and not on God. Or maybe we worry ourselves to death. Our culture's kind of riddled with anxiety. You think that anxiety hasn't crept into the church? Okay, we have to increase our faith, amen? So sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we just worry. What are we doing? We're trying to rely on ourselves. We're trying to fix it ourselves. Jesus is just sitting there sleeping in the boat. He's like, I'm on your side. What are you worried about? Because even if the thing that you're worried about happens, guess what? Everything's going to be okay. In fact, the only way that we can actually lose and everything to not be okay is not to have our faith and our hope and our trust firmly planted on God. What did Psalm say? My God is near. He's in the boat. He's in the fire right next to you. I will put my trust in him. Right? How cool is that? Abraham, great example of faith. What was it that he believed? Well, God can give life to that which is dead and bring into something to being that did not exist. That's the Christian. That's the foreshadow and the type. So then he goes on in verse 18 and he tells us, in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So your descendants should be. See? Why did Abraham have hope? Why did he believe? Why was he willing to obey God and offer the boy? Because when God said, descendants shall be, he believed it. So this verse is saying, without becoming weak in faith, which I would say is doubting, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God. What was the promise? So your descendants shall be. He did not doubt. He did not waver in unbelief. But he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. That is faith. Look, when you're anxious and you're worried and you're angry, fill in the blank. You're not relying on the Lord. Me, still trying to figure these things out, right? Be a better father. That's faith. And our Lord has given us quite a bit. Amen? And I want you to look at it as, don't take your perspective of the world and hold on to that and allow it to cause you to waver against what God has said in his word. Because that is God sitting in the front seat talking. And in the story, Ethan could not reconcile the words of the leader that he trusts and loves with what he could see with his own eye. He couldn't do it. But we do that as adults. We could probably read Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You have to believe his word. If he says your old man is dead, you have to believe him. I mean, why does your old man is dead to you? The only reason he would come back and have any influence is if you go to him. He can't come to you. He's dead. If the Lord says, a new man in my image I have created him, in the image of God, we've got to believe him. You know, and to a certain degree, maybe what Roger's saying at the end of his, you know, meditation as well. Like, not only do I have to believe in the new creation in my own life that I can overcome and bear the fruit of the kingdom that I have been given, but I also have to believe that about you too when you're not acting like you should, right? I mean, do we really believe in the new creation or not? I don't want to sit around for the next 20 years talking about it. I just want to get to doing it. And it kind of starts with yourself. But where I see it hold us up sometimes is we don't necessarily believe fully without doubting in the new creation in one another. We hold people's shortcomings against them. And we lack forgiveness sometimes. And then to top it off, we like to talk about it. That is not faith. That is not believing in the new creation. See, God is saying, can bring forth that which did not exist. God created it in his image. The Christian indwelt with his spirit. I always like Romans 10. Let's turn on over there. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. There's only one place where faith can be developed, and it's right here. So I think the challenge this morning is, how much effort have I put in to seeking God's word? Really? You know, I talked to people. People were having honest conversations with themselves and with me. And, hey, you know, do you think, you know, I mean, we get into all sorts of pursuits. We like sports. We like watching stuff. We like going to events. And the challenge is to make sure that these things never become more important than the Lord and His kingdom, right? And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess just because this hasn't happened, but, you know, use like softball, for example, you know, like, you know, church softball. I mean, is that nothing but a good thing, right? I mean, that's only been a good thing for the congregation. And, but what if you really got into it and then it was, you know, Tuesday practice, you know, of your own volunteering, Saturday practice, Sunday practice, game Monday, and then we're watching film on Wednesday, right? So we got, you know, just as an example, so we got 5 days dedicated to softball, okay? How many days of the week are you reading your Bible? They're like, well, 2, 3. There's a problem there. Just spent half an hour laying out for us that unless you are all in for God, He's in the boat with you. Even when you want to be mad and angry and sad and worried and depressed, you're not, because you're not doubting your faith. You trust the Lord. Right? And Romans says, oh, that faith can only come from the Word of God. And you're not reading the thing more than you're playing softball? That's how I want to leave you guys this morning. You know, it's... faith is an amazing... We talk about faith a lot. And lately, I've just been asking people, what is that? How do you develop that? Be like, oh, yeah. Oh, read your Bible, pray. It's like, well, we all do that. But why do we still lack faith sometimes? Right? So the Scripture has given us some examples of what faith looks like and what it doesn't look like. And I just appreciate the way James explains that. It's like, we have access to God. Amen? But the faith that will save us, our families, and for those who are willing to listen, like Drew is telling us, that only comes from the Word of God. You've got to find a way to make that the language and the culture and the dinner talk in your life and in the lives of your families. Particularly today for the fathers who are the heads of their households, right? And your life's got to back it up too. You can't be a hypocrite, right? So challenge us this morning. Faith is what God is looking for. And it's like you preach a message on faith and the whole congregation is sleeping 10 minutes into it, right? It's like, wow, what did he say this morning? Just believe. Okay? But you have to understand that that's without doubting. And when we doubt, it's because we are trying to rely on ourselves. Where is that faith developed? The Word of God. So hopefully you've surrounded yourself with people who are also seeking the Word of God. And this is what you're talking about. You got time set aside to study it, to think about it, reading it, putting it into practice, and sharing it with others. And let's grow our faith. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord, so thankful for your example of faithfulness. Lord God, you came down and faced all kinds of opposition. And one of the things I really appreciate is, as John records it, is, you know, you continually said, I can only do as I see the Father doing. And, you know, that's faith. Coming down and entrusting your life, Lord, to God and to lay it down. And so we've got so many great examples in the Scripture of what faith looks like. And, you know, really at the end of the day, it's just, the commandments coming down, the words are being said from the front seat from Father, And in this case, the words are coming to us from the Bible itself. And faith is actually believing it. Faith is believing it all the way to the end. And even if it doesn't match what we can see with our eyes, to still believe and trust you like Abraham did. It's a really good example, okay? Doesn't make a lot of sense. This guy dies. There's the end of the dynasty. But faith is really believing it. And that if it even works out, and we were right, see, the papers blew out, I told you, that it was still the plan, God. Everything's still going to be okay. And that's the picture of faith. And to a certain degree, Lord, faith is being able to see it before it's there. That's developed over time. That's not given. Noah was able to see the rain and the boat before the rain ever came and the boat was ever finished. That is faith. May we follow these examples as we understand that faith can only come from the Word of God and the Word of God alone. And may we make sure that we are dedicating ourselves to it so we will not be the one who is doubting, but the one who has faith. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.